From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. There were 13 confirmed cases of the coronavirus yesterday in Alaska. That's the most new cases for one day since mid-April, according to the State Department of Health and Social Services. The increase was driven by 7 new cases in the Kenai Peninsula borough. There are also 4 in Anchorage, the first case in the North Slope borough, and 1 new case here in Juneau. All of the cases were announced today, including the Kenai cases, and they are still under investigation. The state began easing health mandates on April 24th, with businesses allowed to return to full capacity on Friday, May 22nd. The last day with a larger increase in confirmed cases was April 11th, when 15 cases were reported. The largest single reported increase was 20 on April 6th. And here in Juneau, according to a press release from the city and borough, state officials weren't able to identify the source of the borough's latest case after a thorough investigation, which indicates community spread. In total, 32 Juneau residents have tested positive for the virus and 29 people have recovered. Most of the cases here in the capital city have been linked to the Lemon Creek Correctional Center, where 11 staff members have tested positive since April. So far, there have been no reports of inmates testing positive for the virus. As of Thursday afternoon, no one could be reached at the correctional center to comment if the latest case is connected. Juneau's last reported case of COVID-19 before this new case was May 22nd. The Juneau Assembly is nearing the end of its annual budget process with a notably brighter outlook than the one it started with. On Wednesday, the Assembly Finance Committee voted 8-1 to keep property taxes the same as last year. An earlier proposal would have raised taxes to offset the financial impacts of the pandemic. Finance Director Jeff Rogers says when the budget was first introduced last month, the city faced a potential $35 million revenue shortfall and uncertainty over how much state and federal assistance it would receive.
Some of those items got worse, some got better, but the one thing that really did come through for the community and for the assembly was the allocation of federal CARES Act funding in the amount of $53 million.
It's still not completely clear what all of that money can be spent on. So for now, the assembly has allocated less than half of Juneau's CARES Act funding until it's confident that it can use the money to replace lost revenue. It also voted Wednesday to defer a variety of city maintenance projects for the time being, as well as the planned improvement project at the Augustus Brown Pool. Rogers says the assembly could come back to some of those projects later once it has a clearer financial picture.
The budget process continues. It will continue for the next many months as the assembly wrestles with how to spend federal funding, the degree to which that federal funding can replace really significant revenue shortfalls here, and the degree to which they might want to go back and reverse or change decisions they've already made.
Rogers says the assembly is on track to finalize the budget at its June 8th meeting, a week before the city's deadline. And the head of a tribal consortium tasked with tackling transboundary issues is retiring. Tis Peterman of Wrangell had led the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission since 2017.
I've worked projects all my life, and I just decided it's time to take time for myself.
The commission was formed by Southeast Alaska tribes concerned over environmental threats from transboundary mining. Peterman says tribes living along Canada's southern boundary with the lower 48 have similar worries.
Now we are focusing on adding tribes and First Nations across the Idaho and Montana borders.
A few months after the commission was formed in 2014, a massive tailings dam failed at the Mount Polly mine, spilling mine waste into a lake in British Columbia. Incoming Executive Director Frederick Olson says while the Mount Polly mine disaster has become a poster child to the potential dangers of BC's mining sector, there are larger active mines that feed into Alaska's rivers and salmon habitat.
Everybody already knows about Mount Polly. That's just a minuscule little blip on the map compared to Red Chris Mine, which is operating in the Stikine River watershed right now.
The commission is organizing its third summit to bring tribes living on both sides of the border to work closely together for a common cause.
There's a lot more transboundary issues than mining. You know, there's also the cruise ships cruise ship waste, there's oil tankers, there's murdered and missing indigenous women, on and on.
Olson, who lives in Sitka, had previously worked for a year at the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission's outreach coordinator. He was also the commission's board chair for 3 years. And faced with mounting budget deficits, University of Alaska leaders are proposing merging UA Southeast-based programs in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka into either the Anchorage or Fairbanks campus operations, KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
University of Alaska President Jim Johnson addressed the cost-saving option during an online press conference Thursday morning.
We've exhausted the little stuff in large part. Now we need to start looking at larger reductions.
Johnson described the University of Alaska Southeast merge as a transformative structural change that could yield significant savings.
Depending on the degree to which the UAS the current operations are merged with either UAA or UAF, you could gain a lot, north of $15 million.
Johnson said UAS is targeted for merge because it's the smallest of UA's three institutions, and 50% of its students are enrolled online.
They're already not on the campus every day. So they've made the transition.
While the merge may be practical, Johnson acknowledged resistance, emphasizing the merge would not shut down Southeast campuses.
Nobody's talking about closure. That's not a word that is on anybody's mind.
We will never stop fighting for our three separately accredited universities.
Heather Batchelder is president of the Faculty Senate at the University of Alaska Southeast. She says the university has a responsibility to maintain its stature in the region.
We have such diverse economies and cultures across Alaska, and in order to meet the diverse needs of our state, we need to keep our university in our capital city.
The merge option rose to the top during a Board of Regents mandated expedited review of cost-saving options, citing state funding cuts, declining enrollment, and pandemic budget hits. President Johnson provided updated deficit numbers.
The gap is $24.8 million. And in FY22, so next year, the gap ranges from $11.3 million to $36.3 million.
Johnson said the FY22 range reflects numerous variables, including enrollment, which currently is projected to be down about 20%. The UAS merge is the largest of several FY22 cost-cutting options up for consideration by UA regents, who hold a board meeting next week. Johnson says they're expected to approve an FY21 budget that includes the elimination or reduction of 50 academic programs and consider tapping reserve funds to cover the coming year's deficit. He says regents may also provide direction on the UAS merge and other FY22 cost-saving options. With help from Tegan Hanlon in Anchorage, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks.
A Ketchikan man is vying to be the Democratic nominee to challenge Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan in November. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, Chris Cummings has a colorful background but says he'd bring a strong voice for rural and disadvantaged Alaskans.
Chris Cummings is quick to acknowledge that he doesn't fit the mold of a traditional political candidate. But he says that's kind of the point.
The Alaska Democratic Party for the last 30 years has run the same candidate, the same kind of candidate with the same kind of ideas, with the same result.
He presents himself as a fresh, though unconventional, choice. He's a 35-year-old law school dropout, and he's open about his struggles with mental illness and addiction in his life.
I get these issues in addiction or mental health or poverty, the social safety net. Like, I get those things not because I have professional experience. I have that lived experience. I've gone through it.
He's running in the Democratic primary to challenge Al Gross, who he says fits a familiar mold for Alaska's Democratic hopefuls.
They're either conservative Democrats or they're basically liberal Republicans, you know?
Cummings, on the other hand, positions himself as a progressive and a populist. He's lived all over the state, he says, from Prince of Wales Island to the North Slope. Aside from that, Cummings says too many politicians come from a place of privilege, wealthy, well-connected professionals.
It's about focusing on the regular people and the least among us, those who are hurting. It's about lifting people up who need help.
He says Alaska was already in economic trouble before the coronavirus pandemic hit, and residents need help from the federal government. He proposes a state-specific economic stimulus and infrastructure package, not roads, bridges, or dams per se, but social infrastructure.
That was Eric Stone from Ketchikan, and this is KTOO.